Today was Chav Vav Iyar, the 41st day of the Omer, Yesod Shebi Yesod, and it was the Yartzeit of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. The Ramchal, of course, was one of the greatest, really one of the greatest of his time in the 1700s, lived a very short life. Just to give you a picture, by the time he was about my age, he was no longer alive. And yet this great tzaddik, the Ramchal, was a great Makubal and a great Talmud Chacham and a great philosopher. He wrote the Mesilas Yesharim and the Derech Hashem and the Das Tvunos. He wrote poetry. He was a playwright. And he was a tzaddik. The Ramchal was a great tzaddik. And since today was his yard site, again, the 41st day of the Omer, passed away in 1746, at the age of the tender age of 39, which is how old I am. It's just my birthday. So I want to share a yesod that's rooted in the writings of the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim. It happens to have a very strong connection to this week's Parsha, the Parsha's Bamidbar. And it's a topic that Rav Pam, Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, Zatzal, spoke about often and really lived and embodied. We have a printed drasha from Rav Pam from 1981, an English drasha. And Rav Pam as well, in his Sefer, Atara Lamelech, his Hebrew volume, speaks about it a lot as well. So it's an opportunity to give kavod to the Ramchal. Again, today was his yard site, to learn about the Parsha, and also to really connect to a timeless issue, but one that I think is very relevant to everything that's happening in our world right now. 20th Mesilas Yesharim is devoted to the same topic of Mishkal HaChassidus. Now, before we get into the Mishkal HaChassidus, we need to understand what is a chassid. So the Ramchal in the 18th chapter of Mesilas Yesharim describes what is a chassid. What is the definition of the trait of being a chassid, of being a saintly person, of being a pious person? And the Ramchal writes as follows. I'm reading from Perek Yud Ches of the Mesilas Yesharim. The Ramchal writes, while it's true as Jews we strive to do mitzvahs, Amna misha oev es bore yizbarach shemo ava amitis, but really love Hashem. Being a chassid, being a pious person, Samchal means lo yishtadel v'yachavein liftor atzmo, b'makvar mefursam min achova, asher al kol Yisrael b'chlal. It's not enough for a person to say, I'll be mishtadel to do what's expected of all Jews. In other words, I'll follow the mitzvos, I'll follow the halacha, I'll do it, the basic thing that is incumbent upon me to do as an Eved Hashem. If I really love Hashem and Ava Amitis, says the Ramchal, Ele yikra lo kamoshe yikra el ben ohev aviv. Rather, I'll present myself like a child who loves his parents. Like a child, like a son who loves his father. She'ilu yigala aviv es daito, giloi ma'at. If the father reveals, a son who really loves his father, wants to honor his father, feels so thankful to his father. So his father reveals even just a little bit of his ratzon, that the father wants a little something. The father hints to something. The child jumps out of his seat, and not only does he do what the father asks, but he does it in such a way that he goes above and beyond. The father hints to it, and already the son responds so fully. Kvar yarbe haben bedavar ahu v'maisahu kol ma shiyuchal. The son says, because I love my dad so much, I'm going to do whatever I can to make my Abba, to make my Tati proud, to be able to express my Akaras Atov to him by going above and beyond the letter of the law. Says the Ramchal, that's what a chassid is. Vihine, the Ramchal continues slightly later in that parak Yud Ches, kemikra hazeh yikra lemisha oe vesuboro. This mashal of a son to a father, he gives the mashal of two friends, of a husband and a wife. When you really love someone, it applies, of course, to the love that we have for Hashem. Gamkin ava ne'emenes, that's also a very true love. Ki gamhu misug ha'ahuvim, right? The relationship between us and Hashem is also, it's a love relationship. V'tiyena lo ha'mitzvos asher tzivuyim goloi refusim legiloi das levad. When we look at the mitzvos, we say the mitzvos are just the beginning of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being megala to me, revealing to me what he wants from me. But I'm supposed to infer from that it's not enough to just do that. Va'az lo yomar, he shouldn't say to himself, Dai li b'masha amar b'feirish, it's enough to check off the box of what Hashem asked of me. But rather, I want to be the type of person that if I know that Hashem likes something, I want to go above and beyond, and I want to do it in the fullest sense. About such a person, it said, this is one who gives true pleasure to his creator. And the Ramchal concludes the 18th chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim. Nimtza klal ha-chasidus. What is chasidus? What is this trait of chasidus? Harchavus kiyim kol ha-mitzvos b'chol ha-tzdadim v'atanayim sh'roi ve'efshar. Expanding the mitzvah as much as one can, in any way possible, contemplating it from all the different sides, in whatever way I can enhance the mitzvah, I want to be able to enhance the mitzvah. That is the Ramchal's definition of chasidus, Perek Yud Ches in the Mesilas Yeshar. Says the Ramchal in Perek Chaf, the Perek that's entirely dedicated to the Mishkal HaChasidus. What does the Mishkal HaChasidus mean? That when a person wants to live beyond the letter of the law, and you want to be a person who loves Hashem and is passionate about Hashem and goes above and beyond for Hashem, but a person needs to be so careful, says the Ramchal, to mishkal, to weigh those holy actions. To make sure that when I do holy things, I do them for the right reason. Because sometimes the Yetzer Hara has a way of presenting an avera to us and making it look like a mitzvah, or vice versa. One of the examples the Ramchal brings is from our Parsha, the very end of our Parsha. As we start to divide up the responsibilities of the Levium, so in next week's Parsha, we have Gershon and Merari. The end of Parsha's Bamidbar, we learn about Kohas, the family of Kohas, from the Shevet Levi. And the Psukim Mamish at the very end of the Parsha, you'll take a look at the end of the very end of Perek Dalet. The Psukim say, Al Tachrisu as Shevet Mishpachos HaKohasi Mitoch HaLevim. It's a scary Pasuk. Protect Shevet Kohas, that they shouldn't be cut off, that they shouldn't be destroyed from amongst the Levium. Vizos asu lahem v'chayu, and how do you ensure that they should live? Lo yamusu, v'gishtem es kodesh hakadoshim, because they are charged with responsibility for transporting the holiest of things, the aron, the menorah, the mizbeach, the shulchan, because they're in charge of the most sacred kelim of the mishkan. Make sure you protect them that they shouldn't die. That Aaron ubanav yavo v'samu osam ish ish al avodaso, assign them to avoda. Ve'el maso, and to their carrying. Make sure they know their jobs, and they know it well, so that they don't destroy themselves. The holiest segment of Shevet Levi, carrying the holiest kelim of the Mishkan, protect them that they shouldn't destroy themselves. What's that talking about? So the Ramchal writes in Perek Chaf of Mesilas Yesharim, based on the Medrash in this week's Parsha. Lama hayamazir aleim, al tachrisu es Shevet. He's quoting from the Medrash Rabbah, Bamidbar Rabbah Parsha Hay. Why do you need to warn them not to destroy themselves? They're going to get killed from carrying such holy things? Is it just that the Kedusha is so great? No, it's actually a tragedy. Listen to this. They knew that what was the greatest kli? What was the most desirable kli to carry? It was the Aron. So you know what happened, says the Medrash? It's a sad thing. Everyone wanted to carry the Aron. No one was interested in carrying the Shulchan. No one was interested in carrying the Menorah. No one was interested in carrying the Mizbeach. V'kulan ratzin la'aron litol schar. They would run to the Aron to try to have the schus of carrying the Aron. Okay, zrizus, that's a good midah. But unfortunately, u'mitoch kach hayezeh meiriv v'omer anitoin kan. They got into fights with each other. They were pushing each other out of the way as they were fighting for the Aron. I want to carry the Aron. No, I want to carry the Aron. Meanwhile, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach is sitting there on the side. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you better figure out some type of takana here. You got to get them organized. So Moshe tries to organize them, it sounds like in the Medrash, and they're still fighting with each other. Ani toin ba'aron, v'zeh omer lav, ani toin ba'aron. Hashem turns to Aaron and says, Aaron, you got to get this together, otherwise they're going to destroy each other. So here you have people fighting over Kedusha. Their motive is pure. They do a great thing. But they're fighting over an Aron, and they're missing the point of the thing. And therefore, writes the Ramchal, explaining the Mishkal HaChasidus, how careful we need to be that when we do the right thing, we really do it for the right reason. And I know this is similar in some way to what we spoke about last Wednesday night. But the Ramchal writes, Re'ei Poshut, Hu Sheroi L'chol Adam Li'os Makdim V'Ratz L'Dvar Mitzvah. It's obvious to us that everyone should want. It's beautiful on one hand. They're running to do a mitzvah. They're fighting over Kedusha. It's gevaldik. It's beautiful. We should all be running halavai to do mitzvot. So l'shtadal yos min ha'oskim ba. Achinei lifamim yachol lihivalid mizeh meriva. But sometimes in your desire to do a holy thing, it turns into a machlokas. She yosher tisbaze ha'mitzvah. that in the end it's a zilzal, it's a disgrace for the mitzvah. What was supposed to be a kiddush Hashem, what was supposed to be a source of kavod shemayim, it turns into a chilul Hashem. And such a mitzvah, a person should say, better not to get involved with such a mitzvah. Better to leave the mitzvah aside and to just make sure that I'm doing the right thing for the right reason, and that my desire to do something holy doesn't turn into a bizoy mitzvah or a chil Hashem. Says the Ramchal, that's called mishkal ha-chasidus. I always have to analyze. I want to do a holy thing. But I have to figure out, is this going to be for a greater good? And at what cost? At what cost am I fighting over the Aron? I want to carry the Aron. It's the holiest of holies. But at what cost is a person fighting over the Aron? And is it a Kiddush Hashem or is it a Chil Hashem? Is it Kvod Shemayim? Or God forbid the opposite? Is it a terrible Meriva that Hashem said, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with Shevet Kahas. I've heard a parent or two say on occasion, right, let's say, you know, you have kids who want to do something nice for their parents. They want to set the Shabbos table for Shabbos, right? And they're fighting over who gets to set the Shabbos table. On the one hand, it's so beautiful. Wow, halavai, my children should fight over setting the Shabbos table. Or they're making a surprise, you know, birthday breakfast for mommy, and they're fighting over who gets to do what. Or I get the color of the birthday card more than the other one, right? And the parent says, you know what, it's beautiful that you both want to do something nice for your parents, but you know what the greatest thing you could do for your parents is? If the children don't fight with each other. That's the biggest birthday present you can give mommy, more than you know, deciding who's gonna be the one to set the table or hang up the balloons. To be able to just show that we're working together, in some ways, is the greatest kvod shemayim that we can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Ramchal gives another example. I want to give another example from Mesilas Yesharim. It's a very powerful example. He ends Perek Chaf with an example from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud. Brachos Yud Amud Beis. I'm sure some of us remember the Mishnah, Machlokas, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, how to say Shema. Brachos Yoramid Beis. Beis Shammai Omrim Be'eriv, Kol Adam Yata V'yikra. Beis Shammai had a very interesting shita. Beis Shammai says, at night you lie down to say Shema. Shenemar, B'shach B'chov Kumecha, Uba Boker Yamod, in the morning you stand up. Why? B'shach B'cha, when you lie down, Uv Kumecha, when you stand up. So the nighttime Shema is said while reclining. And the daytime Shema is said while standing. Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai, that's not how you read the Pasuk. B'shach b'cha uv kumecha is not telling you the position that one takes for saying Shema. B'shach b'cha uv kumecha is teaching you the time for saying Shema. B'shach b'cha, you say it at night when you're going to sleep. Uv kumecha, and you say it in the morning when you're waking up. How to position yourself? The Pasuk says, uvelech lecha baderech. As the Meiri explains, and you're walking on the road, you're neither, you know, you're neither standing nor leaning, right? So position doesn't matter, it's the timing of Shema. Okay. So what's the V'shafra of Kumech? It's the timing, says the Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Tarfon concludes the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon decided, he's a big tzaddik. Rabbi Tarfon was from the Beis Medrash of Beis Hillel. But he decided, I'm going to be extra frum. Not only am I going to say Shema at the right time, but I'll take on the extra chumrah of either lying down or standing up. Rabbi Tarfon said, I was traveling one time, and I decided to lie down to do like Beis Shammai. But as I lay down on the side of the road, I endangered myself because of highwaymen, robbers, along the way, who would take advantage of travelers. And Amru Lo, they said back to him, Kedai ha'yisa l'chuv ba'atzmecha she'avart al divrei Beis Hillel. If you would have been robbed, if you would have been killed, you would have gotten what you deserved. Because you didn't listen to the opinion, you didn't follow the halacha. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. You were trying to be too frum. And at what cost? The Ramchal explains, you have to understand. The world of Shammai and Hillel, this was fierce machlokas. And as the Gemara describes in Maseches Erev and Adaf Yod Gimel, it was finally decided that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So we need to be machazik that. We can't have individuals deciding, I'm going to go above and beyond and I'm going to be like Beis Shammai. It's a chumrah that comes to a kula. You know why? Because it undermines the whole establishment of the halachic system. We're trying to establish a world where the halacha follows Beis Hillel. We're trying to make that mainstream halacha. And now the whole system of Torah Shoral Peh, the whole integrity of halacha, becomes damaged by a person who's defying authority because they want to be machmir, because they want to do a holy thing. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, that's called Mishkal HaChasidus. If we would just weigh if we would just weigh the different sides of the equation, if we would look at it from a broader perspective, we would realize it's a chumrah that's not the type of chumrah that we want. It's a chassidus that's rooted in something that is improper. And a person always, and we want to do right, we want to be in love with Hashem, we want to go above and beyond. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, you have to be so careful that in my love for Hashem, my commitment to go above and beyond the letter of the law, I have to be careful that it doesn't come to a kula. Like I said at the beginning of this year, Rav Palm, in a written drasha in English from 1981, gives 10 examples of the Mishkal HaChassidus in a Sefer, the Hebrew volume Atara LeMelech, which was put out in his lifetime. I have it right here. Rav Palm gives other examples, and I want to highlight just very quickly a few of those examples, because it's such an important yesod in life, to make sure that I consider at what cost. I want to do a good thing, but at what cost? And it's true in Bein Adam L'Makom, and it's true in Bein Adam L'Chaver, and it's true in Bein Adam L'Atzmo. Just a couple of examples. Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, says Rav Palm made the Mishkal HaChassidus a focal point in his life. And Rav Palm tells two stories about Rav Yisrael Salanter's Atzal. The Gemara in Shabbos says on Samach Beis Amid Beis, in the name of Rav Chista, that a person who uses an abundant amount of water for Netilas Yadayim will be blessed with great prosperity. He'll be very successful. Okay. So it's good. You know, Baruch Hashem, we have running water. Fill the cup up to the top. Use a lot of water when you wash Netilas Yadayim. It's a segula for Ashiris, for great wealth. Rav Yisrael Salanter was once a guest by someone's home. And he took the washing cup. And he took a little bit of water. And he washed mamish with just a tiny bit of water. I think Meikar Adin, the smallest amount you can wash with is a revius. That's a couple of ounces. I don't really understand how you have to be a real expert in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim to pull that off, even if you want to just do the mitzvah right. But we saw wash with mamish the minimal amount of water. So the Balabai said to him, Shabbos Samach Beis, you know. Rav Yisrael, you want to be successful in this world? You want to be prosperous? You want to be rich? Why are you being cheap? Use a lot of water. It's a big segula. So Rav Yisrael said, it's true, it's a pious thing to use a lot of water. But at what cost? Where does your water come from? I know where your water comes from. You have a maid who works in the kitchen, who goes out to the well and schleps in the water. So it was an icy and cold day, so she's going to go to the well, and she's going to be schlepping this bucket of water, so that what? So that I can be a chassid at her expense? Rav Yisrael Salanter said, I don't want to be a chassid at her expense. That's the Mishkal HaChassidus, my friends. To be able to say, at what cost? I wanna live a life of holiness, but at what cost? Another example, Rav Yisrael Salanter once spent the Shabbos with one of his Talmidim, a very wealthy Talmud. And he said, Rebbe, we've got the best standards of kashrus in my home. The woman who cooks in my kitchen, she's the widow of a Talmud Chacham Otzum, a great Talmud Chacham. She knows halacha, you'll be very satisfied, you'll be very happy with the standards in our home. And at our Shabbos table, you'll see, we sing zmiros for hours. Divrei Torah, it's gevaldik. So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, that sounds very beautiful. Let's eat the meal quickly, and then afterwards we'll sit and we'll sing zmiros, and we'll tell Divrei Torah throughout the night. After the meal, a delicious meal, he goes into the kitchen to thank this widow of a Talmud Chacham, who's a cook in this wealthy Jew's home, and she says, Rav Yisrael, I have to thank you. He says, my host means well. He wants to enhance the honor of Shabbos, but he goes for hours. And I'm stuck in his home Friday night. I'm exhausted. I just want to get to sleep. And I'm waiting for him to finish up his miros and to finish up his divrei Torah, and I'm exhausted, and I can't leave until I'm able to wrap up the kitchen at the end of the meal. And Rav Yisrael, with your sensitivity, you realize that. And you rush the meal so I can get out of here, and then you can sit all night and sing as much as you want. You can tell Divrei Torah late into the night. But at what expense? At whose cost? I don't want to be a chassid at someone else's expense, said Rav Yisrael Salanter. Another example that Rav Palm brings. It's known if it's Chaim when he would have guests at his home Friday night. And by the way, I do this sometimes. And I'm not saying that as a declaration of tzidkus. I'm just saying it as I think it's the right thing to do. On a late Friday night, sometimes I see my children are hungry, the kids are tired. They're waiting for kish, they're waiting for a motzi. It's not a time for me to be singing piyutim from the Arizal. The Chaim, when he would have poor people at his home on a Friday night, the Chavetz Chaim would go straight into Kiddush. He would skip Shalom Aleichem. Chavetz Chaim said, Shalom Aleichem, the angels can wait. The angels aren't hungry. I have homeless people at my table who are starving. So if I can get the Kiddush and I chal a little bit quicker. But first the human beings. It's an amazing sensitivity, and it's something, again, that plays into this yesod of the Mishkal HaChassidus. In the Atara LeMelech, in this Hebrew volume, again from Rav Palm, He brings one other example, an amazing example from the Chafetz Chaim. He says that apparently during the war, I'm not sure, World War I, I guess, I'm not sure, the Chafetz Chaim found himself in a particular city for Chag HaSukkos. He was stranded in this city, and there were no lulavim and esrogim. All they had was one lulav and one esrog from the previous year. So they took turns passing around the lulav. Okay. He's not sure, he says, the Rav Palm writes, I'm not sure if the Chafetz Chaim made a bracha on it, I'm not sure what the halacha would be. Okay. They said to the Chafetz Chaim, the distinguished Chafetz Chaim was a guest in their town, they said, who's going to hold the lulav during Hallel? Who's going to shake the lulav for the Na'anuim during Hallel? We want to be Mechabed, the Chafetz Chaim. You should hold the lulav and esrog during Hallel. Everyone took a turn. During Hallel, the Chafetz Chaim, I want you to hold the lulav and esrog. The Chafetz Chaim looked at them like they were crazy. The Chafetz Chaim said, shaking the lulav during Hallel, holding the lulav during Hallel, it's a minug. The Na'anuim is a minug. The mitzvah is just pick up the lulav. I did the mitzvah already. I'm going to risk people being upset at me. K'peda, Chalishas Hadas, I'm gonna risk insulting someone that, God forbid, one Jew is going to think, why does he get to hold the lulav during Hallel? As if anyone would think that about the Chafetz Chaim. But the Chafetz Chaim said, to upset a Jew, we're dealing with mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh. I'm not gonna risk that for a minug. That's the Mishkal HaChasidus. To be able to look at the picture from all sides. To be able to see the big picture. And I'll give you one final example that Rav Palm brings, and I'll contextualize it with the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is coming up. I've been learning with one of my friends. I've been learning Megillas Rus a couple of nights now. And the Medrash writes in the Medrash Rabbah on Rus, why is Rus part of Tanakh? That's an amazing story. I highly recommend people review Sefer Rus, Megillas Rus, amazing story. But the Medrash wonders, in the Medrash Rabbah on Rus, in the second Parsha, why is Rus part of Tanakh? There's no Tumah, there's no Tara, there's no Isser, there's no Heter, there's no like real halacha. I mean, it's an interesting story, but why is it included in the Tanakh? How did it become canonized? And the Medrash says, "Lameidcha kamaschar tov legom lechasadim." It's a book about chesed. And look how important chesed is that it becomes part of Tanakh. A lot to think about there. So Rav Palm ends the piece in Atara Lamelech on page 125. He ends with a final example. He says, Gemilas chasadim hi mitzvah rabba umida tova ma'od. The reason that Rus made it into Tanakh is because it's all about chesed. And chesed is a great thing, says Rav Palm. But sometimes we do chesed at the expense of someone else. Rav Palm says, imagine a woman who made a nice supper, prepared a nice dinner for her husband. And she's expecting him home at 6 o'clock. And it's 6:15. And it's 6:30. And it's 6:45. And the dinner that she had prepared for her husband is sitting on the table and it's getting cold. And she wanted to have a special evening with her husband. And now it's 7 o'clock. And finally her husband walks through the door. An hour late. I guess he didn't have a cell phone or his battery died. He didn't call her. And she's worried about him. He walks in. And he explains to his wife, where was I? My dear wife, I was doing an unbelievable chesed. I ran into a friend who needed a ride to the airport. So I took my friend to the airport. I'm so sorry I'm late, but it was such a gavaldi chesed to be able to help him. He was stranded. He needed to get to the airport. So Rav Palm says, you know what? That's really beautiful that you wanted to help out your buddy. You wanted to take your friend to the airport. But what about your spouse who was sitting and waiting for you? You did chesed at the expense of someone else. And Rav Palm concludes the last three lines, chaval, chaval, shelo shakol b'mishkol achasidus. So chaval that this guy put this other person, put his friend before his wife, who he has a ksuba with, who he's contractually bound to. Chaval, says Rav Palm, he didn't weigh, he didn't balance things out. He thought he was being a very big tzaddik, running off to do this big chesed to take his friend to the airport. But he did it at the expense. He didn't think about the tzar ishto, l'umas chesed chavero. He didn't weigh his wife's pain versus the chesed that he wanted to do for his friend. V'lo ola al daito, shelachol pachos. Tzarech lo'odiyolai, should have at least told her, or perhaps asked permission from her. And that's how Rav Palm ends the piece. I want to end tonight by telling you a story about Rav Palm, just to show you that, again, it's not by chance that Rav Palm wrote so extensively about this. He mamash lived this. Rav Palm was a beautiful, sweet tzaddik, passed away about 20 years ago now, 19 years ago now. Rav Palm from Torah Vadas, Rav Avram Yaakov Akoyan Palm. So in the Art School biography of Rav Palm, it tells the following story. We'll end tonight with this story. I'm sorry it's a little longer than usual, but these are important ideas. There was a young boy who had Down syndrome who was very close with Rav Palm. His name was Rav Nata Shlomo Rabinowitz. And the year that he was born, his father, Rabbi Rabinowitz, was davening by Torah Vadas. He was davening at Torah Vadas for Yom Kippur. And it was a beautiful davening. a very, very beautiful davening. It had been a very hard year for their family. The son, who was born with Down syndrome, also needed heart surgery. It was a very, very difficult, very, very difficult time for their family. And it was a big year for tefillah, and he was davening very strong on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur afternoon, between Musaf and Minchle, is a couple of minutes, and he runs home to check on his wife. And he sees Nebuch, his poor wife. They had three other children also. And this young child, this young baby with Down syndrome, who again also had this heart condition. And he looks at his wife, and she just looks at him with tears in her eyes. And she says, "I've barely davened anything this Yom Kippur. All I've said so far," it's the afternoon of Yom Kippur, "all I've said so far is Birchas HaShachar. I haven't said anything yet." So he tries to comfort his wife. He tries to be mechazek her. And he goes running back to Torah Vadas, and he says to Rav Pam, he says, "You know, I'm thinking, Rebbe, maybe I should go home for Ne'ilah. Let my wife, there's a shtibel near our house. My wife can go there for Ne'ilah. She's so upset. She feels like she hasn't had a Yom Kippur. She's been busy with the kids all day. I think it would be a big chizik for her. I'm just not sure what the right thing to do is. And it means that I'm going to have to daven Ne'ilah without a minion. So what should I do?" So Rav Pam looks at him and he says, "Avada, not a question at all. Wow, a gevaldik chesed has come to you at the moment of Ne'ilah? What greater schus in the world could there be? Run home to your wife. Go right now." So he says, "Should I wait? But maybe, Rebbe, maybe I should just stay here and daven Shmona Esrei quickly, the silent Shmona Esrei for Ne'ilah, and then I'll run home and send my wife to that shtibel, and she'll catch most of Ne'ilah." And Rav Pam says, No, go now. Go. You'll daven miyachidus. Go right now." He throws a chesed comes to you, b'shas Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, and your wife, I'm telling you, you have no idea what this is going to do for your wife, for your relationship. Go right this second. He basically pushed him out the door. And this fellow runs home. He doesn't even grab his hat and his coat. He runs out in his talis and his kittel. He runs home to his wife. She says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I want you to go for Ne'ilah." He davens b'yachidus for Ne'ilah. And his wife came back after Yom Kippur. She was mamish glowing. She was so strengthened by that. And Rav Pam was so right. She said, "Wow, your Rebbe was so right. Rav Pam knew what he was doing. He was so right." But here's the end of the story. The following year, more or less the same situation. Now their son is a little bit older. Still a very difficult situation. He goes home between Musaf and Mincha to check on his wife. Again, more or less the same situation. He comes back to Rav Pam. He says, "I know what my Rebbe is going to tell me, but I'm just going to go ask. I'm not going to make the decision on my own." He comes back to Rav Pam. He says, "Rosh Hashiva, you know, my wife's going through kind of the same situation. I should probably go home and let her go to Ne'ilah." And Rav Pam says, "Absolutely not. You need to be a part of the yeshiva. You need to daven b'tzibur. Berov am hadras melech. It's an important thing. You need to be here." So he looks at Rav Pam. He says, "Rebbe, but last year you told me just the opposite. You told me what a chesed it is to go home." So Rav Pam, and this is the Mishkal HaChasidus, to be able to look at it from all the sides. Rav Pam said to him, "No, you have to understand. Last year, your son had just been born. He was 8 months old. Nata Shlomo was 8 months old, and you've been through so much, so many stressful months. Your wife really, really needed that Yom Kippur. And the Mishkal HaChasidus said you have to give it to her. And whatever it's going to cost, you have to give up your Yom Kippur for her." He said, "But now, many Jewish women have this difficulty. The difficult reality of a mother with young children, and what does Yom Kippur look like? For many Jewish women, it's a big struggle." But Rav Pam said, "You have to know that when a Jewish mother provides for her children on Yom Kippur, that's also very chaviv by Hashem, and you should be in shul. That's what Hashem wants. Last year was an exception to the rule. She really, really needed it. But this year, I'm telling you, it's not so easy for her. I understand that it's very difficult. But this is very chaviv by the Ribbono Shel Olam also. To see a Jewish mother taking care of her children and making her own sacrifice in order to raise her children and giving up her Yom Kippur. I promise you, she won't lose out anything. You need to spend this Yom Kippur in shul." Only a tzaddik of the caliber of Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam Zatzal could have such a balanced approach. And again, it's obvious why I'm sharing this with you. We're making critical decisions these days. We're going to be making critical decisions in the days ahead. And we have to make sure that we're considering all the different equations. We have to understand that Rav Pam was prepared to give up for a Talmud Chacham. He was prepared to send them home for Ne'ilah to be able to mechazik someone else. We have to be very, very careful as we start to open up. And again, I'm a big believer in the science. I think we have to be realistic. We don't have to be overly cautious. At a certain point, we got to get back to life. We got to open up the shuls. We got to get back to living. We can't live with unrealistic fear and paralyzing fear. But at the same time, we need to have tremendous care and tremendous sensitivity in making sure that we're weighing all the different sides of the equation as we make critical decisions in the days ahead. So Amir Tzashem, we should learn the lesson well from this week's Parsha. Don't push someone out of the way to grab the Aron. We have to learn how to balance piety and priorities and to make sure that we do so in a way like the Mesilas Yesharim, like the Ramchal said, again, his Yahrzeit was just today, to be people who are able through the right decisions and the balanced decisions to give nachas ruach liyotzer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a great night. Don't forget to daven matzah.